Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you're here with Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic.
Yeah.
My name is Elliot, and this is a very special episode because we have a returnee.
It has been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a long while, Luke. You have absolutely abandoned us.
I did. I left you for 2 months by yourself. I don't know how
An eight-week period, we were like, no, what's happening? But you're back, and you're here in studio.
You kept things strong while I was gone. I appreciate that. But yeah, I have not been intimate for a very long time. 2 months is a long time without intimacy.
Yeah.
Okay. I learned a lot of self-love.
Just wanted to let that linger for a bit.
Let it linger. Like a smell.
Well, I'm glad I can break that intimacy.
Yeah, the drought.
Drought. That's the word I was looking for.
I'm wet. Let's do it.
So on today's show, we wanted to talk about the kind of second coming of the Christmas period. Should we put it that way?
Second coming. It is, isn't it, really? Because, I mean, traditionally, in terms of video games in the past, a biggest release period was always sort of October, November every year.
Oh, absolutely. Leading up to that holidays where everyone has this time off work or time off school or whatever they're up to, which means they have plenty of money or plenty of time at least to play these video games. So that's when the developers wanted to release stuff.
And it's gift-giving season. You can bundle them with consoles, put them under your tree. Your parents just buy them for their kids without really even knowing what they are. Here, little Jimmy, have Grand Theft Auto.
And at time of recording, it's like perfect Black Friday kind of period. Period of time, which means, you know, heaps of sales going on as well, that kind of Christmas
lots
period.
Of cheap games at the moment.
So that typically ended up being the time you'd release both consoles and video games would be that kind of October, November-ish.
Yeah.
But we're actually seeing more and more that January, Feb, and March are becoming this kind of second coming where a lot of these games are being either delayed or pushed back into this kind of early, the first quarter of the new year. And it's becoming a second Christmas, like that second holiday period where you're just inundated with game releases from these big AAA developers.
Yeah, because I remember only a few years ago even, you'd have like almost nothing would release till like April.
Yeah, it was unheard of, right? Like that gap was usually exactly that. It was this big gap in the market where there was nothing really releasing at all.
And it kind of sucked, but also gave you a chance to catch up on all the games last year.
It did, but nobody wanted to release their games in that little block, so it seems like times have changed a bit. If we want to be a bit more specific, what is releasing at the first quarter of next year?
Well, so let's just list them out first and foremost, right? Okay. And even just listing them, you'll be like shocked. So
Sit back.
Is the first 3 months. Kicks off on 25th of January. I won't list all the dates out, but let's just go from that's the first big one. Resident Evil 2, the remake. Huge game.
Oh, massive.
Massive franchise. Week after that, or the same week rather, sorry, Kingdom Hearts 3, one of the most anticipated releases probably of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether I like it or not, doesn't matter. It's popular.
Doesn't matter.
A few weeks later, you've got Anthem and Metro Exodus, both launching on the same day. Crackdown 3 is the week before. You've got Devil May Cry 5 launching a couple of weeks later. Couple of days after that, Division 2, and then you've got Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, and Days Gone, just around the corner from that.
Yeah, so that's massive. Like, this is kind of unheard of. If you had told me that lineup, I would have been like, yeah, that sounds like an October, November release.
And there's other smaller ones, like, sprinkled in, but they're, like, the big ones that stand out to me. And it is this new trend where they go, well, hang on a second, why would we release in October, November, when there's always a Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed, you know, these games that are pretty much yearly that we expect, along with the yearly sports titles too, like your FIFAs and your WWEs and these games that always sell really well. They've sort of realized, what's the benefit of competing with those games? Why don't we, you know, release in a period where there's less people to compete against, and then we'll get all the focus? But now, so many games are doing that it's become this busy period. I mean, Anthem and Division 2 being 2 weeks apart, to me, that is scary. These are two big open-world co-op multiplayer games.
But that's scary for you personally, because I know for a fact you will be spending weeks upon weeks upon weeks upon, you know,
I'm taking
playing
leave.
These
I'm
games.
Taking annual leave. I'm not going to be around. You're not going to see me on the show for a month. But, you know, and they're the same sort of market, though. These are these co-op open-world shooter games. To have these two big competing behemoths, I would say, in terms of these games in such a short period is it's pretty much like the Call of Duty Battlefield equivalent that always seems to happen as well. But yeah, I think it all started, I noticed it really big time about 3 or 4 years ago when the first Dying Light came out.
Oh.
Remember that? So it released in January and it was delayed from November. And I remember at the time being disappointed in the delay and thinking, oh no, a couple of months, that sucks. And then it came out in January and that game was by far the biggest seller for January and February as well because there was nothing else to compete against.
Yep.
And I think that that game would have originally gotten lost in the shuffle, but by being specifically released in that time period, it ended up, everyone played it. It got everyone's attention because there was nothing else to play. It was a good game in its own right. I really enjoyed Dying Light. But would I have put much time into it? Would everyone have played it as much as they did had it not released in the January after all that had died down? Probably not. And that sort of, to me, was a turning point. And from that year on, I feel like developers, are a bit, publishers are a bit smarter now. They're going, well, hang on a second. February, March is a good release period.
Yeah, and it seems like it. Like, just look last year when Nintendo launched their entire console in March.
Yes, like, exactly.
Very clearly, that is becoming a much bigger trend. And I think you hit the nail on the head. There's just too much competition in October, November. So while it might, like, on paper, make financial sense to release just before that holiday period and that gift-giving period, when you're competing against so many gigantic titles, it seems like a really poor decision. And you see it time and time again where games release in that period and get trampled because of it. Titanfall 2, for instance.
Devastating.
I think But I think developers and publishers have finally clued into that and released their games, like delayed it, so that it's not hitting that incredibly busy period and instead releasing where there's a bit more breathing room. And now I'm wondering if we're going to keep expanding because Jan, Feb, March is now that kind of busy period as well with heaps of competition.
There's just so many good games coming out, which I think is part of it as well. I think, you know, back in the old days, you wouldn't see
the old days.
The old days.
Back in my day.
A young whippersnapper with my PlayStation and my 64. Games were not coming out that often, really. Like, you'd have maybe a month where nothing would release. And that was pretty common. And I think you'd get like two or three standout top tier games a year. And the rest would be like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
Now, there's so many talented developers out there and so many talented developers being given big budgets by companies like Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo. And I think that now we're seeing so many big games that are all feeling like must plays. You know, As a gamer, I appreciate good quality games. And to me, there's so many on that list that scream to me they're going to be good quality. I mean, I can look at that list and go, I want Resident Evil 2, I want Anthem, I want Crackdown, I want Division 2, and I want Sekiro, and I want Days Gone. I want all those games. Back in the day, I'd maybe have the first half of the year and there's like one game would tickle my fancy and be really good, and the rest would be like, eh. But now I've got like, you know, seven. And that to me just speaks to the volume of games in the industry, but the volume of quality games that we're now getting. I mean, there's a reason why the Game of the Year awards have now become this big award that happens now in this big ceremony, because it really is. Like, to be the best game of the year is huge now, because there is so, so many good games releasing at all times. So I think we're in a very different market to what we used to be in, and you have to spread this stuff out. You have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you aren't going to sell.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we do see that where games don't sell because they're being cramped in the middle of other these big release periods.
Yeah.
So to spread it thin is better both for the developers and for the players, because maybe we are just as gamers playing more video games than we used to. Maybe it is this trend where it used to be you picked up one game and you played it for a month or two and then you kind of moved on. I mean, that's definitely how I played games when I was younger. I would be obsessed with a particular game and that would hold me tight for like a month or two or even longer.
I remember playing Ocarina of Time for like a year. You know what I mean? When I was a kid. Yeah. Like just being like, this is everything.
Because it didn't get old.
No.
Like you just kept playing. Mm-hmm. And now we're so spoiled for choice that it's like, yeah. No, I refuse to only play one game a month. That's ludicrous.
I like rush through a game like Zelda because I know there's like another great game waiting for me. And I'm like, I want to get to the other game. So I'm just like finishing it as quickly as I possibly can.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, nowadays consumerism is so different that we don't take the time to really absorb what we're playing, what we're experiencing. We're just thinking about the next big thing. And you know what? The industry itself...
You make it sound like an addiction. We need our next hit.
The industry promotes it like it is, though. I mean, if you look at the way they market games, right? You have a game like a God of War or something. It's like months for the build-up. You got E3 trailers. You got previews. You got here's what the soundtrack is. Here's the actors. Here's all the hype. Here's a preview. Here's a chance to play it before release. All these great things. And then it launches. Right, you've got marketing, posters in the streets, trams going past God of War, big billboards everywhere, and then like a week after, what's next?
Yeah,
it is dead. It is done. We have done our job with the marketing. Guess what's coming out next? You know, Uncharted or Anthem or like whatever. Like they move on to the next thing so quick because they know that we're moving on quick as well, and it makes you want to move on quick because they're so quickly showing you something new that you've forgotten what you've already just bought. That's last true. Week.
Well, I mean, these people are competitors with each other, but I guess everybody benefits from an ecosystem where gamers move on from one game to the next really quick because that means there are multiple games being purchased and multiple developers getting a slice of that pie.
And, you know, so it's because as well, I think, because publishers have so many games in the same house, right? Like, you know, you've got Sony who are working on so many things at once. And so once a game's done and released and got their week one sales and they can say, hey, Milestone, we've sold 20 million copies or whatever, it makes more sense to then invest in the next one that's coming out. And there's always the next one. There's always something next for each publisher that releases things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
EA is the same. Like, they just released Battlefield, big business, obviously, Battlefield. And the next one for them is Anthem in a couple of months. So now it's going to be all about Anthem until that releases. Once that's done, it'll be, you know, Battlefield 6 or whatever. Like, it'll just go on to the next thing. And it's just interesting the way that we absorb these things nowadays. And I think that they have to factor this in. They have to factor in how quickly we move on and how quickly marketing and PR moves on from things as an industry.
Yeah.
They're always looking at the next.
It's true. But yet, having said that, why is it then that Jan, Feb, March is so busy, but then maybe the preceding 3 months or the middle of the year is kind of a slow period?
I still think that they treat E3 as a pretty serious milestone each year in terms of announcing games and stuff. I know that on the show last week, you talked about how Sony have pulled out of E3 next year, doing their own thing, whatever that means. You know, and it's not that scary because Nintendo have been doing their own thing kind of for a while now too. So really, it's probably going to be fine. But yeah, I think that it's just this kind of industry trend where you know that June is going to be all the announcements. So you don't want to release anything too close to June or in June. Because in June, you're getting like 10 new games coming out over the next year that you're hyped for. You're going to forget about this little game that comes out next week. You know, because you're not thinking about that. You're thinking about next year and all the Anthems and Division 2s and all these big guns, right?
That's true.
So I think that they still realize that June is not a good period. And July is kind of the come down from that.
Yeah.
And you might get a cool game sneak in that time, like a vampire or something, which is like...
Oh, sure. Look, there's always going to be games releasing. And whether it's like these big blockbuster games or something a little bit smaller that kind of sneaks in there and grabs your attention. Like, if you're a gamer, there's always a trickle of content coming out that's going to be really captivating, something you really want to slurp on.
For sure. Well,
that trickle.
that trickle, that slurpy trickle. Mm. You should call a game a slurpy trickle.
What would that game even be?
Well, we'll have to workshop it later. but yeah, I think May, June, July is kind of this E3 period where they kind of leave it because of the releases that are coming and they know there's going to be big announcements. Yeah. And then from August, there's that kind of slow roll into Christmas where it gets crazy.
It does feel like some of the big developers or big publishers are kind of fighting to get earlier and earlier and earlier. Like you can see the release date of Call of Duty and stuff like that pushing back further and further. Like it used to be November. I remember because my birthday is actually November 11, and I always used to love that because the biggest releases would come out on my birthday.
Yeah.
A Fallout game, if a Fallout game was releasing, would always be basically on my birthday.
Yep.
But now it seems like October is that kind of hot period because they're all trying to beat each other, be the first one to release. So it's really interesting. You think of game delays and you're like, oh, that's because there are bugs or they need to fix this or fix that. But a lot of the time, maybe behind closed curtains, what they don't say is, actually, we just want to have a better period for our video game. We don't want to launch here because Red Dead Redemption 2 has now announced their release date and that's here. So we don't want to be there anymore. We want to be further down the line where maybe our game gets way more notoriety when it actually releases.
And that's the thing, you know, when it's, you know, it's kind of like who's first to show their hand, isn't it? You know, if you've got a game coming out soon that's a big release, a shooter, you know you're going to compete with your Call of Duties and your Battlefields and stuff. So it's about picking the right date that's going to work best for you.
Yeah.
And we saw it recently with Battlefield 5. That was originally going to be out in October, and then so was Call of Duty. And so you saw Battlefield pivot, and they said, actually, yeah, we need another month of development. Like, oh, another month's going to change everything. we're doing it in November now instead. Okay. So all of a sudden, the game comes out a few days ago, which is smart because not much else came out a few days ago. So everyone's over the Call of Duty, Red Dead Redemption 2, whatever, Assassin's Creed, big releases. Now they're ready for another game. And Battlefield's out and it's new and it's exciting. Let's jump on that. So I think, you know, when a game is ready to go and the publishers put a date on it, that date is so important and it's so telling to be confident enough to say, our game's releasing here when there's nothing else around it, because then everyone else can scramble and go, well, where am I going to put my game? We have to factor this into the market and say, well, how much of market share is that title going to have and take from our game? And think of it that way as well. I think Sony's been smart by saying, you know, with that March, April, they've every year now they've gone big release in April.
Yeah.
It was Uncharted.
You need something.
Last of Us, God of War, and it's going to be Days Gone. They're clever, you know?
Even Horizon Zero Dawn.
Horizon Zero Dawn, yep, thank you. Yeah, every year has been a big release in March, April. And it makes sense. To the point where I expect it now, and other publishers must expect it too. So they're not going to release in March, April, because there's a big Sony game probably coming.
Sony has, like, benchmarked that as their territory.
Pretty much.
Just as the way, like, Call of Duty has benchmarked late October for their release period.
And Sony's games, the ones that we're referring to, like Last of Us and God of War and Horizon Zero Dawn, they're such a large scope games where they appeal to everybody. You're not going to go, it's not my style of game. It's great. How could it not be?
It's everybody's style. Yeah, you take that back.
How could you not like this? I just play it, you idiot. Slap. Like, you know, I think, you know, it's not like Call of Duty where it's a shooter. You know, it's just a shooter. It's different from what Sony try to do with their big IPs now where it's like, it's an adventure, it's an action, it's a drama, it's a character piece. It's, you know, it's all these things at once. It's open world, but it's also linear. Like, you know, what is it? You know, it's very clever. So, yeah, I think that January to March, it's a smart period to release. I think we're going to see it get more crowded, and maybe then we might see some leakage into like April, May,
and
maybe
then
June.
It keeps going. Yeah, exactly.
But it's all going to keep flipping back around.
Well, here's one point we haven't addressed yet, and I'm not the best person to talk about financials and like accounting and stuff like that.
Sure.
But it is the end of the financial year at what, around June-ish or August-ish? Yeah. So to get in before that time tends to be quite good for their, like, you know, stock reports and whatnot. Oh, God, I'm so far out of my element.
You have no idea what you're talking
about.
There'll
be people, like, writing in going, this idiot.
Yeah, look, I mean, there is quarters in terms of financials and stuff. And, yeah, first quarter is July, right? So then you've got the whole year to kind of make your budgets and prove to your investors and stuff that you have achieved targets and stuff like that. That's essentially how it works.
So it makes sense, in a way, to get something out before that kind of end of financial year report to make sure it looks quite good.
True, but if it releases in June, you're not going to have the full breadth of that release cycle to properly digest how it goes in that financial year as well.
Sure.
You know, because a game, normally you release and then you've got like the month afterwards, like,
well,
second
month. Well,
maybe that's
why it dies down in June.
Ooh. Financial year, not just
E3.
I mean, maybe. I don't work for EA.
You don't?
Slap a microtransaction on it. Let's go.
You're hired.
Yeah, done. You got it. Yeah, I think, to me, I don't know if financial year does play a big role in it. So I also know that financial years around the world are different. You know, they're not always, like, in Australia,
well,
it's
that's
June.
That's confusing. God damn it, world.
In Australia, it's July to June, but I think it's different in other parts of the world as well. So, all I know is I think that we're lucky at the moment to have so many games to release and that a good quality, to the point where this is even a conversation where you have to have, you know, publishers competing about PR and marketing and where the game's going to do the best, because all these games are good. You know, when you have a game release month where you've got Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Red Dead Redemption 2, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, WWE, FIFA, all these games all at once, right? None of these games are bad. Like, they're all different, but they're all quality titles. And so you have to go, well, aren't we lucky that we have this? That we have like five or six games jostling for position in a busy period? Like, as a consumer, it's great for us.
Yeah, if your biggest complaint is that you don't have enough time to play all the things you want to play, then that's a pretty good...
Yeah.
You're living life pretty well.
Yeah, exactly. This is a first world problem to have. Yeah. I have too many games. Like, my shame pile is so huge. Like, okay, stop buying them then, you know, consumerism. So, yeah, I think that ultimately we're lucky. But I would like to see some more stuff coming out probably, yeah, April, May, June. It's like a lull. It's like a boring time for the industry in a way as you wait for E3 to come.
Yeah.
Chuck some more games in May and June.
True. Maybe yeah. That's exactly what we need. Maybe developers saw that first, like, Jan, Feb, March as that lull and then occupied that space. And now that lull has been moved into a new area.
Exactly.
But anyway, that is all the time. We've been talking about the kind of first quarter of the year and how that's become a second holiday period for AAA game developers and all the awesome games they try to cram into that little period. Luke, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
My name has been Elliot, and make sure you join us next week for more Checkpoint Intimate Goodness.